Thank you so much. Which one do you think is the basketball player? Probably the big guy. Most definitely. Does anybody know who the big guy is that wasn't here last year? Wilt Chamberlain. 7'1". The little guy's Willie Shoemaker. He's 4'11". There's 2 feet, 2 inches difference between them. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that their future was designed differently? Do you think if Wilt said, I love horses, I want to be a jockey and ride my ponies, do you think he would have been successful?
No.
Do you think if Willie Shoemaker had said, I don't care how I was designed, I want to be a basketball player, he probably could have played some in high school, a little bit more in junior high, a lot more in elementary. It's a tough thing. We were designed to do something specifically. So our vision and our goals need to be set similar to how we're designed. Okay? So I'm going to talk tonight about the 3 D's of design. It's just such a contrast. But think about it physically. We see it physically, but what we don't realize is we're designed to have emotions completely different than the next person. We're designed to have ideas completely different than the next person. It's obvious physically when you see that. Isn't it interesting? It's like, of course he's the basketball player. Of course that's the jockey. But when we look at ourselves, we often can't see the distinction that I am built for something. I'm built to achieve something. I'm built to live a certain way, be a certain way, feel a certain way, and produce certain things. The more complete the picture you have of who you are, of how you were created, the easier it will be to fulfill your goal. Most of us aren't super honest with how we're created. Most of us are vague about how we're created. And we can say that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, but almost none of us can sit down and write a list how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We'll be very general, and we'll say it about unborn children. We'll say it about other people if they preach or they sing or they do something wonderful. But for us, we should be able to talk about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So when you're looking over your vision of what you want to do, what you want to have, who you want to be, and you're setting goals towards that, what you really need to do is you begin to think that I'm designing my life to fit me. I'm designing the horse I'm going to ride, the court I'm going to play on. I will decide that. I won't let life decide it for me. I won't let somebody else tell me who I am, where I'm going, what I want, or how I will keep up with the Joneses. So if you're writing and having struggling, the vision in the 7 areas, that wouldn't be 7, that would be 7. And the 7 areas on the circle of life or the fat tire of life, or if you're struggling with the million-dollar question, as you go back and look at your design, you'll have a lot better idea of how you were made. Now, we're going to talk about the 3 D's of design. The first one is design. The 3 D's of vision. The first one's design. The second one is desire. The third one is discipline. I'm just going to give you some notes along those areas, okay? Before I go on, what I want you to do, I want you everybody to do this. Put one hand like this, any hand, and then do this. Now, that means time out, doesn't it? You're calling for a time out. So if I'm going super fast, which I am prone to do, I want you to just do it. You don't do it like this. But as I'm looking around, kind of do it like this. Like, so I'll slow down, so I'll take a breath, so I'll pause. Because I get excited. I love this stuff. I know that if we will get down the vision for our life and set goals each year that line up with how we're designed, that it will be amazing. Our year could literally be the best year we've ever had. And each year could progressively get better. We'll talk more and more about that. So this first one, design. And you don't have to get everything down because it'll be taped. It'll be online like the last Wednesday is. But this design is how you were created, how you were physically built, how you were mentally built. Now, when I grew up in Los Angeles, California. We grew up on a lake. There's a lady down the road. Her name was Mrs. Gunn. She had a rack of canoes and kayaks. And so when I was about 7 years old, I got in a canoe. And lo and behold, it wasn't until I got in my 20s that I realized I have the perfect body to sit in a canoe or kayak. Little tiny legs, nice big torso. Lots of power up here when you're doing this. No legs to get in the way. I mean, it was. I mean, I won. I raced in a in Busch Gardens. I was 12 or 13, and I won all three races in over 3 days. I won every event I was in, even though I was up a level in one event. I've got my giant trophies that are this big. Back then, that was big. Now all the trophies are like a lot real big, but I was built to do that. If you look up your body type online, you can find out what sport you were built to play. I was built to play short burst of energy sports, nothing long distance, nothing endurance. If you look on my list, it's like jujitsu and wrestling and rugby and those types of things that are smaller. So part of this design is, what did you love as a child? What comes naturally to you? Victoria, we have Zeke's our son, he's 24. We have a 7-year-old who will be 8 in a couple days. And Zeke has always liked counting money. He could add and subtract by the time before he was 4 years old. I mean like larger numbers. And he loved math games at 3 years old. He couldn't speak really well, but he could do math really well. And he could go through a grocery store as a 10 and 11 and 12-year-old with 3 or 4 items, add them up and add the tax and be really, really close, if not right on. So it was a natural thing for him to go get a business degree to become an accountant and a bookkeeper and a company owner. So what do you love as a child? Now, Victoria, she can do a back flip over and, I don't know, and lift her whole torso all the way up and flip back over completely controlled. I mean, she's designed to do something. So under design, maybe people have said you're great at something and you keep hearing it, but it's so common to you that you don't feel like it's that valuable. That's one of those design features. And if you start placing value on it, then good things will come into your life because of those values you're placing on it. And then lastly, for design, what have you been successful at? A lot of us discount what we've been successful at and say, well, I've already done that. But a lot of times if we find out what we've been successful at, we can find out even that new exciting thing that maintains some components of what we used to be successful at into our new venture. So you're designed for something on this first one. Now you have a desire. You could be designed for math but have no desire to go to business school, to get a finance degree, to go into bookkeeping, accounting, tax preparation. So you have to have a desire. You have to really love what you're designed to do because you're designed to do more than one thing. Both of these guys that we saw, Wilt Chamberlain and Willard Shoemaker, could both do different things. They could have become accountants. They could have become singers. They didn't have to go into sports. But so your design has to be connected to desire. You have to really, really love it. So if you're going to pick a social work to do or a ministry to do, pick something that really, really brings you tons of joy, whether you see a lot of success in it or not, and eventually you'll see lots of success. You can also pick a ministry or a job that you get to fight something that really, really makes you mad. And you find your passion in that and your desire, and you'll spend a lot more time doing that. Maybe a question you can ask yourself is, what makes me the maddest? What makes me the saddest? What makes me the happiest? You can also ask yourself, if I was a president of the United States, what one thing would I do this next year? And then go after and do that in your one way. If I was the mayor, if I was the pastor, if I was spending my taxes, what would I do with it? If I was the boss of this company, how would I lead? And then lead that way, even if you're not. And then also in desire, you might ask yourself, what group of people do you want to save, lead, feed, clothe, heal, mature, set free? And then that's your desire. But your desire has got to be connected, how you operate it, to your design. You can't say, I want to be a professional football player and be Willie Shoemaker. You just can't do it. You can say all you want. You can say all you want. I have this great desire, but you're not designed to do it. You're not going to do it. And if you do it, you're going to be constantly disappointed in that area. So we have design, desire, and development. Or discipline. I changed it to development just recently because discipline kind of people might think to be in trouble. But development is basically, are you willing to discipline or develop yourself in that area? You know how many great artists there are out there that have never had a showing in an art studio? How many great singers there are out there that have never sang? How many authors there are out there that have never written even an essay or started a blog? Because they're unwilling to develop themselves in that area, to be disciplined. So we're going to talk a lot tonight and next week about that discipline. We won't call it development or discipline, but we'll call it goal setting. We'll call it what will you do without in order to get what you really want. So you can ask yourself, what areas have you already been developed in? What's your education in? What do you spend time doing even when you don't get paid to do it? What do you like to read even though you don't get paid to do it and it's not even part of your job? That might give you some idea of what your vision is for your life and what you were developed or designed to do. So you've got to ask yourself, if I'm designed this way and I have a desire, it doesn't matter if you don't develop yourself in it. Have you ever watched like basketball player and they have these three-on-three and they have slam dunk contests and these guys are brilliant. They look like they're good, as good as NBA stars. They play passionately. They're built for it. Their desire is to play it, but they've never disciplined themselves. They've never kept themselves off drugs. They've never physically conditioned themselves. They've never learned how to take leadership. They've never learned how to play on a team. Therefore, they've never made it to college ball or even professional ball, because they're unwilling to discipline themselves in that area. So you can find your design for your vision of who you are, your vision for your life, if you look at your design, your desire, and how you're willing to develop yourself. And you can look at those areas and decide where have you lost your desire, or where have you followed somebody else's desire, where a parent has told you, you'll never be good at that, so you've said, I'll never be good at that, even though that's always been in your heart to do. I read today that Colonel Sanders, I listed his jobs on Facebook. He had like a dozen jobs, not many good jobs for a long time. At 65, the highway had bypassed his restaurant. It didn't do very well anyways. At 65, he pulled out an old recipe, the Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe, and became the Colonel Sanders that we now know.
At what age?
At 65 years old. So we have a lot of guys like that that do those things. And there's no age limit on changing our direction or our destiny in what we do. So here's one of my strengths for Strength Finders is we do Strength Finders. We do a Strength Finder workshop at Strength Finders 2.0. It's a strength assessment, kind of your bent. One of my top five strengths is learner. And when you look at learner, it puts into language something that's deep within me. That propels me to learn. I'm always learning. Get this, even though I didn't know how to read until my second year of third grade, even though my last full year of traditional school was ninth grade, I went to a 25-person pace method school in 10th grade, and I went to a school for a couple weeks, and then my parents sent me to boarding school, and I dropped out of that eventually. So that my last algebra was ninth grade algebra, but I was always a learner. Wound up here when I was 17 in Texas, and I started reading Time magazine, and I would underline every word in Time magazine I didn't know, and I would write out the vocabulary word and memorize it. And I would go through the top 10 bestseller list, and I'd read all the books on that. And so I was reading a lot of stuff, and then I went to college. Even though I could barely afford it, my dad got sick I was in about 2 years part-time, had a yard care company, and kept pressing through it. Graduated about 6 months after Zeke was born. I was 27 years old. Immediately, a couple years later, started working on a master's in education. Lo and behold, got a master's in education with highest honors, and it was one of the easiest things I ever did. And just recently, I finished a master's level coaching coursework that took about 2 years that allows me to be certified and teach some different things. But I've always learned in my life. I love it. I'll read anything. I used to read Vogue magazine. I'll read any article. I'll read any article that's set before me. I don't even have to memorize any of it. I just like the learning. I just like the act of taking in information. And so when you find out what you're willing to do, what you're designed to do, what your desire was, and how you were developed, you'll do a lot better. I'm looking in the next, when I finish up certification, it's a process to get certified with the International Coaching Federation. I'm looking at what do I do next? And it costs money, and it costs time, and it costs energy, and it's super irritating at 50-something years old to have somebody tell you to do homework. And that you have to do work. And we did a workshop over a 3-day period, and you actually have to coach somebody, and there's people watching you coach that person, and then they tell you what you did right and wrong. All right? So on page 4, flip over to page 4. I just want you to look at page 4 real quick. In the iceberg principle on page 4. And I want you to see how at the very bottom is our dreams. That preferred future, that ideal concept we have of ourselves. The next line, the dream's verified and clarified. The dream's written down as vision. And then the vision quantified our goals. And then we have our daily schedule, which is our habits. All of us have dreams. All of us have some sort of vision clarified. All of us have goals. All of us have habits. Okay? Most of our goals, habits, and vision and dreams are unwritten, unspoken, and we just follow them religiously without even thinking about it. Okay, so up to this point, does anybody have any questions on the design? Yes.
Okay, so sometimes, or a lot of times, you hear people say, like, you can do anything you want to,
That's right.
Yeah, that sometimes, and I always think, well, really? So like, design-wise, like you were saying,
absolutely
true?
Not true.
Okay.
You cannot do anything you want. Your parents lied to you.
That's what I thought.
And there's a component in here, I don't know if we'll get it to this week, and it's basically the title in your book is Everyone's Lying, and then the biggest lie. And everyone is lying to you. When you say, it's kind of like the American Idol. You see a kid go in and he sings, and he's super confident. He gets before three judges, and they're like going, "You're awful." He's like, "No, I'm not. My mom and grandma told me I'm great." Everybody's lied to him. And he hasn't gone out and given his craft or his art or his design to anybody, his vision to anybody, and let them give him any feedback. We do it all the time. I just want to do this. But you really don't, or else you'd stop watching TV. You'd go to a class like this, and you'd get some help, and you'd move forward in your life. So it's just not true. You can't. I'm 52 years old. Zeke's 24 and has three houses, two of them rental houses. So I saved up some money. I thought it'd be a good idea to buy a rental house. And he gave me a nice lesson in about 90 minutes. At the end of it, we're driving, we're looking at some property. And I'm like, well, I don't want to risk my money and my energy. And he's like, "Dad, at your age, do you really want to do this on Saturdays?" And immediately, boom, that whole desire, that where I thought I wanted, the vision I thought I had, didn't connect with my dream. But I had written it down. I want to buy a house. I want to buy a rental house. But it didn't actually serve my dream very well. If I want to travel, I want to be with people, I want to have time off. And so I did something completely different with that money. So you can't do everything, and you can't do anything, and you can't do anything you put your heart to. Once again, can Willie Shoemaker be in the NFL?
No.
No. Maybe as a cheerleader. Now, Willie can love football. He can love football and be disciplined and play football somewhere and coach kids playing football. But he can't play in the NFL. When you start putting the goal to it, you can't do it. All of us can be writers and painters and artists and dancers, but maybe nobody wants to come see us do it. But we can still do all of it. Okay? So we can't do it. We can't. That's a good question. All right. So just find an empty note page. I'm going to do a little bit... some stuff before we get into goals. And I am going super slow, but I'm determined I'm not going to try to have to get through everything. So how many of you are addicted to coffee? Nobody's going to admit that. A few of you, thank you for your honesty. Yeah, there you go. Took you a while, but you got it. So so how many of you have ever been to Starbucks? Riley's like, "I'm not addicted." I am addicted. I just haven't had any, so my brain wasn't quite working. You've all been to Starbucks, right? What would you think? Howard Schultz is the originator and the current CEO of Starbucks Coffee Company. What do you think his vision for Starbucks is? Anybody? To sell coffee. Anything else?
Make money.
Interesting, because it's not. His vision is not to make coffee. It's not to make a $5.50 Frappuccino. His vision for Starbucks from the very beginning was and still is, stated is to create a third space between home and work. That's his whole thing. So he brews coffee, he buys real estate, he trains people, he hires a designer so that people have a third space. So when you're not at work or not at home, you can have a cup of coffee and a couch and relax. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So the coffee is a goal. The hiring is a goal. It's a goal that gets you to your vision, which is stated as something really deep. And it's a fascinating story. But your goals are a vehicle for the vision. Your goal is a vehicle for the vision. Your goal actually drives your, helps drive your vision, but it's not the vision. So if you say, and we'll get into that a little in just a minute. So your goals are the vehicle for the vision. Your goals carry the vision. Your goals are not the point. But you still have to write your goals, okay? You still have to put your steps out before you so you can get to where you want to go. Now, if you have a lot of goals but no vision, you never wind up anywhere you want to be. You just wind up somewhere else than you are right now. So you have to have goals that connect to vision, okay? You can have a lot of, I said something like you can have, because it's not written, you can have a lot of goals that, and you can complete all those goals, but you won't be anywhere except where somewhere else, but you won't be where you want to be. If you don't have vision. Because your vision is actually, I see something out there that I want to have my life look like that. I want to be a great husband. That's. We'll talk a little bit about those soft vision and how to make goals for soft vision. But I can then do a bunch of different things. But if I don't have it clarified, what does a good dad look like or a good husband look like? Then I can just be doing a lot of stuff. It doesn't produce anything. And we're really good at work and home and church to have a lot of goals that don't lead us into any life that we really want to have. Okay? So you're writing down and pursuing goals in order to grow closer to the person you want to be. You're writing down goals. Writing down goals is not the goal. Writing down goals is to step you towards the vision. All right? The vision of I can be more of who I want to be. I can have more I want to have, what I want to have. And I can do more of what I want to do. So goals help you get somewhere, be someone, and have something. So I stated last week I had a goal of losing like 30-something pounds last year. I've only lost 12 of those pounds. So that's a goal. Now I could have that goal with no vision. I could have that goal and I can still feel like I didn't achieve anything. Because I just had that goal. It didn't mean anything. But in my head, I have a picture of me hiking with Zeke and keeping up with him, within reason, but since I'm twice his age. I have a vision of me playing outside with Victoria, riding bikes with Victoria, keeping up with her as she's growing. So it's more important to me. That's more important than losing 30 pounds, but that's how I get to be hiking and camping and playing with them, is to have that vision of myself out there. But it's connected to something that's deep within me. Because I want to be alive a long time. I want to be vibrant a long time. I want my mind to work really, really well for a long time. Okay? So we're pursuing vision. We're not pursuing goals. Oh, wait. I'm not going to do that yet, but we're going to skip that and that. All right, so find another little place to write, because this is going to be really important here, to write some notes. So soft vision. We're going to talk about writing goals for soft vision. Hopefully some of you wrote more soft visions. Vision is much softer than goals are. Goals are hard, quantifiable things. You can put numbers to goals. If you said, I want to lose 30 pounds as your vision, that's really a goal towards, I see myself frolicking around in the surf in a bikini. I don't know. I don't see myself doing that, by the way. Just, this is what a soft vision would sound like. I want to be a better parent or spouse. That's a soft vision. I want to be kinder in my life. That's a soft vision. That's a vision of myself with my family, my friends, and at work. These are all attached to this, to the fat tire of life, okay? These areas. So I want to be a better parent or spouse, that's family and friends. I want to be kinder, family, friends, and work. I want to be more engaged relationally, again, family, friends, work, and even play. I want to be more fun. I want to be more courageous when it comes to activities. That could be play and work. I want to be a better boss. It could be career and business. I want to have more freedom. That could go in with your finances and your work and your play. So it connects with all of those things. So we're talking about soft visions, things that aren't like real solid, like I want the next promotion or I want to own a company. That could be a big vision. That could be a big vision, but most of us have some of these softer visions. All right? So look what happens here. In these, we see ourselves being something that we're not right now. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a good dad means I feel like there's something lacking in what I'm doing. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. So this is how you write goals for soft visions. you write SMART goals with hard numbers, okay? So you write, to write goals for soft vision statements, you have to write goals with hard numbers on them. And you'll get this in just a second. But the way to write goals for soft vision statements is to write SMART goals with hard numbers on them. Here's what that looks like. I'll give you three examples. I want to be a good parent, which really means I want to be a better parent than I am right now. Because a vision says I'm looking forward to what I don't have, who I am not, and where I am not. It's something in the future to me. So here's how, that's a soft vision statement. Here's how I make a goal. Over the next 30 days, I will spend 30 minutes, three times each week, playing with Victoria after school, as well as a three-hour chunk of time each weekend with my phone turned off. It's quantified. I can do that. I can mark it down and say, did that, did that, did that. It helps me not lie to myself because I said I wanted to be a better parent. I feel like I'm a better parent because I spend an extra 30 minutes with her during the week. It's, you put a quantity, you put hard numbers to it. Let's say you say, I'm not going to ask anybody here if they said they wanted to be a kinder person or a kinder human being. Don't you wish more people would set as goals, I just want to be a kinder person? There's a lot of mean people out there. So I want to be a kinder person. Here's how you write a goal for the vision of want to be a kinder person. Okay? Over the next 90 days, I'll read three books on the topic of kindness, emotional health, and our books on how I'm wired as a person. I will also seek out the help of a trusted friend 3 to 4 times before the 90 days is over. See, it puts actual dates. It puts numbers. It puts minutes. It puts something to that goal of what I want to be. You know, there's a huge lack of friendship in the world. It's a lot of people are connected by a lot of different things, but there's not a lot of depth of friendship. So what if one of your vision statements was, I want to be a more engaged friend, and you have this idea of what it looks like to be more engaged, but you just always hope for it, you just always wish for it, you say you want it, but you don't do anything about it? Oh, that's just awful because it leaves you feeling bad, especially after you express what you want. Whether it's to somebody, whether it's in a journal, whether it's to God, whether it's just in a conversation, it then leaves you to feel bad. You feel bad about it. So, but when you put goals on it, you say, now I'm taking a step. And so to be a more engaged friend, over the next 4 weekends, I will plan out and participate in 3 fun activities with my friends. I will join a sports program at the local YMCA and do blank class for 3 days a week for the next 60 days to engage with people. It's all about numbers for those things, okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's super important to put numbers. So vision puts words, puts language to my dreams, my unspoken dreams that I want to be a ballerina, and I'm 52-year-old male, and I've always wanted to be a ballerina. I'm putting language to that, and last week we said I'm going to put language to it so I can look at it and go, oh my gosh, I really don't want that. What was I thinking? That was a childhood dream. Okay, but then what if it is really true and I see it and I get over the embarrassment? Well, I can make a goal to go take dance lessons. I can go do that. And what we do is they bring it out. Vision brings it out into the open by clarifying what it is and declaring it, and then goals help you carry it along. Okay, so all your goals, make sure they have hard numbers connected to them. We'll do an activity at the end of the night that will have an actual timeline, like in X number of days I'll do this, in 90 days I'll save this amount of money, I'll lose this amount of weight, or I'll do these activities. But make sure you have numbers to your goals, that especially if it's a soft goal. Okay? All right, any questions on writing soft goals for writing hard goals for soft vision? All right, let's turn to page 21. Now remember, this workbook is designed to stir stuff up. You can't do all the work in these 3 90-minute time periods, okay? But it's to stir you up and you to think about what you want and then to do the work from now until January 1st of what do I want to do for this next year? What do I want to accomplish? And so the whole process at the end will have 5 or 6 goals that you want to do next year, completely do, and win at those goals. And you'll have a marker of, am I winning when it comes to my goals? Am I taking this next year a big leap towards the vision I have for my life? You might not get the vision of, I want to write a book, I want to write a book of poetry, I want to start a business, I want to lose this weight, I want to save this money, I want to go on this trip. But you'll be 12 months closer to it instead of just saying again in 12 months, I wish, I want, I hope. All right, so the travel example. I love this travel example because it's a real-life travel example of some conversation I had with somebody, and I asked him, and I wrote it all down. So let's look at the travel example. If you said in your area of play, you said, I want to go do something super exciting. I want to do something really fun, okay? That would be a dream. So you say, where would you want to go if you could take any trip in the world or a trip, say, within the next 3 years? Europe. Where at in Europe?
Holland.
Okay, good. Anybody else? We have a couple from Scotland that had a dream to come and do a road trip. They flew into Dallas and drove to the Grand Canyon and then drove back to Houston. They don't want to do any more road trips. they took a big long one, but that's a dream come true. Road trip Grand Canyon. They had written a list of 101 things they wanted to do.
Wow.
And you guys each did 101 things, right? And 40 or so matched, and that was 2 of them that matched. So what, is that only one person wants to go somewhere?
No. I said I wanted to go to Scotland.
Scotland, oh, yeah, okay. So, yes.
I want to go to Panama.
Panama, okay, good. All right. So write that in there where it says, I want to go. Write that in there. I want to go to blank. And this was actually, when I started talking to this lady, it was they wanted to go to Israel, so there's a mistake in here that says Israel somewhere in this thing.
Yeah.
So I want you to fill in these blanks, and I'm going to fill them in. I'm going to tell you what the words that I put in, because I have a trip I want to take, and I wrote down this, and Christian knows about it, and Zeke knows about it. So it's an impossible trip for us to take, but we're going to do everything we can to make it happen. So I want to go to Italy. That's the first blank. I want to go someplace with someone, with Krisha, Zeke, and Victoria in the month of June. I know I want to go June, okay? Possibly July, but thinking June. And stay for 3 weeks. So I just had this big, huge vision. 3 weeks in Italy. And for me, it's anywhere around Italy. It could be Spain. It could be, I mean, there's all these things that like you can linger off and it'd still be an amazing trip. But we've talked about it and we want to go to Italy. My top 10 things to see in Italy are blank. I would need research there, right? I don't know what I'd want to see or not want to see. And my top 3 things to do or participate in are blank. All right. The flights will cost me approximately $3,600 for the 4 of us, and food and lodging will cost me about $200 per day for a total trip cost of $7,800. Now, we know we went to Scotland for a week and we went to London for a week, and we know that $200 a day is probably not going to cut it, but that's what we're going to budget right now. So think about that. We have like this impossible picture, and I can say I want to go for 3 weeks and go, nah, there's no way I'm going to do that. 3 weeks. How do we get off for 3 weeks? $7,800. There's no way I'm going to get $7,800. I mean, that would take me forever to earn that or to save that. But see, that's what happens when we start putting goals to it. We start saying, I can't do it. I don't want to go to Italy anymore. So we stop the process. But you just keep going. I will have to get my visa or my passport. We'll have to get special whatever to go wherever we're going, updated, as well as my shots or my medicine. I will need to buy a new pair of swimming trunks and a better suitcase in order to travel like I want to in Italy. There are a few fears or responsibilities or something in there that I have that may be stopping me, keeping me from pursuing this. Maybe I'm afraid of talking to my boss. Maybe I've never taken off 3 weeks. Maybe I've never saved that amount of money and spent it on a trip. And it's really, really difficult. But I've been brave enough to write it down, so I'm going to be brave enough now to push through the resistance, like Zeke talked about, and we'll talk about here in about 5-10 minutes or so. So I will get some help from Kathleen Gage. who can help me see and hear myself better in this area and give me some breakthrough. See, it's pushing through these areas. It's saying, now I have a plan. I have a plan. There's one thing missing from here. Anybody know what's missing from here? I mentioned it just briefly. We did an exercise on it last week. Anybody knows what we're missing here? The why. Why do I want to go? Besides, it's exciting. Remember, we have to teach, we have to attach vision to this. Well, Christian and I got married New Year's Eve, 1985, at 11:30-ish at night, and they started December 31st and ended January 1st. The ministry had to pray, you know, like a long prayer there to get us over to the January 1st. Being a tax preparer, she says we're married in the 31st in 1985. I say we're married January 1st in 1986. So we have our 30th anniversary coming up here in about 13 or 14 months. So for me, and I want my kids to be there with me, not the whole trip, just a part of the trip. I want to go there with my wife for a week by myself and have the kids come and stuff like that. So it's like a celebration to me. So that's an important why to me. We're going to do a big trip, as big as we can. If I can have any trip I want in June of 2016, that's going to be the trip. So if anybody wants to write a check, feel free to do that. All right? There's a why attached to it. There's a why. And if your why is just, I just want to be adventurous, that's a good why. I just want to prove to myself I can go somewhere and do something that's really exciting. So go back to page 4 and look at the iceberg example. I want you to get this picture, and you can ask me for it if you want, but think about this. Dreams are in the clouds. Vision pulls dreams out of the clouds and puts words and reality to them. Goals begin to create the steps, the path, the bridges that lead us to the fulfillment of our dreams. When we look at this, the iceberg principle that you have before you, I want you to see that I have a dream of doing something exciting, something different on my anniversary. I have a vision. I want to travel somewhere I've never been before and see some amazing things and have a trip that's out of this world. And so my goal is I want to travel to Italy with my wife and my kids. And then my habits, which we'll talk about next week, I have to transfer X amount of dollars every week into another account so I won't spend it. I have to earmark it, vision trip. I have to maybe cook at home for 2 nights instead of eating out 3 or 4 nights a week. I have to maybe cancel cable TV, maybe not buy that car and get in under a payment that I don't need. I may have to take extra shifts at work so I have plenty of vacation time when it's time off. I may have to teach somebody else how to do my job so I can leave. See, all those things, so those are habits that you begin to create. And what's amazing is your whole life begins to shift and wrap around pursuing that vision. Your resources, your time, how you do your job. And this is often, the goals are like the messy middle. It's easy sometimes to stir up dreams and vision, but then the goals get to be like, ugh, now I have to do something. And we can get scared in this process, but I just want to challenge you to be brave and go after those things. And you can always adapt your goals. So if I don't get to Italy, but I get to France, that's awesome. If I don't get to France, but I go back to Scotland or England, that's great too. If I go down to Panama instead, that's great also. So it's putting it out there. If I said I wanted to lose 30-something pounds, I lost 12, I could feel really bad I didn't hit my... Well, I guess I could still hit my goal by the end of the year. It seems likely at the rate I'm going. But I can be super thankful I set a goal and I've kept 12 pounds off and I'm healthier than I've been in a number of years. So see, goals are things you put out there, but it's not just to get the goals, it's to head... towards somebody, okay? Not somebody, towards being the person you want to be. Okay. So, SMART goals. SMART goals. Just turn to page 23. So, you've heard me use SMART goals. We're going to talk about SMART goals and what they are. And you're going to write goals when we come back from the break after Zeke talks about resistance. Okay, so they're specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely. They're specific, they're measurable, they're attainable, they're relevant, and they're timely. So it's specific. It's what do I want to accomplish? I mean, it's pretty simple. What do I want to accomplish? It should be written down there. This is what I want to accomplish. It has to be measurable. How much of it do I want to accomplish? To say I want to lose weight is not a smart goal because it doesn't say I want to lose 39. I think mine was 39 pounds. How much? How will I know when it's done is this question right here. What's a win look like to me? Okay? You can't say I want to make more money. You can say as a vision in your life, I want to have some more freedom when it comes to my finances. But then when you set a goal, what looks like freedom? What number of money per month looks like freedom to you? And you have to write it down. You have to make that decision. Nobody else gets to make that decision for you. If somebody came in here and they said, I want to make more money, and I said, how much? They might say, I want to make $1,000 more a month. And that would be like amazing to them. Person over here, you say, that like $1,000 more a month, that means that's like nothing to me. This person says, I want to make more money. And they say, I want to make $35,000 a year. This person over here is thinking, I make $150,000. That would be awful to make $35,000 a year. The person that's making $150,000, there's somebody else sitting there that's making $500,000 every year. And they're saying, I would hate to make $150,000 a year. You have to put numbers, money, and time, and measure what you say you want. You have to do it. And when you say, I want a better car, what does that better car look like? You just have to do it. Yeah, because it helps you describe it, helps you know when you get it. So if goals start getting you there, they help you, but it's something that you want, then you know that you're on your way. You know you're on your way when you say, I want to have more financial freedom, and you cut your cable bill, and every month you put $100 aside instead of paying it for cable. Okay? You drop a membership somewhere. It has to be attainable. Remember, goals aren't visions. Vision is like, can be out there. I want to write a screenplay, and I've never written anything before in my life. I'm going to have to do a lot of work to get writing a screenplay. But I can set goals that are measurable. So they have to be, they're attainable. There's something that can be attained within reason that lead to fulfilling your vision. Okay? Your vision can be years away. Your goal cannot be years away. Your goal needs to be next year. Needs to be next year. Not at the end of the year. Not pile them all up in 12 months. I want to. They've got to be next year. The fourth one has to be relevant. Your SMART goal has to be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant. Some say realistic. A lot of SMART, they put realistic. But I think relevant to the life that you want is more important. Your goal has to connect to a vision that connects to the dream of your heart. Your goal has to connect to a vision that describes a dream within your heart. A goal, let's see, a goal has to connect to a vision that's connected to a dream in your heart. You've got to make sure it's a goal you want to complete. Write goals that mean something. Write goals when you say, if I do that, life would be better. If I do that, I would be kinder. If I do that, people would notice that I'm no longer screeching at them. If I did that, I wouldn't feel afraid anymore. If I could go towards those things, I'd be a step closer to being the person I want to be, living the life I want to live. And it has to be timely. What's the time frame? Someday never works. Someday never works. Set a specific date and aim for it. This is what happens when you set SMART goals, especially with a time attached or a number attached. Your brain is so wonderfully made, your brain starts figuring out, how can I do this? It starts engaging with you. How can I do this? Once you start stepping towards something, we're gonna take like a 3-minute break. So if you want to finish that up, and then we're going to go to resistance because we need to get to goal setting, okay?